This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all for tuning in today. We are very excited. We are here at Toyota of Portsmouth, and we're going to be here until 6 o'clock. Howie Carr will be joining us in just a little bit. And once he gets here, the 110 Grill will also be Toyota of Portsmouth. I drove my RAV4 here today, and I'm just very excited for this show. We got a lot to cover today, Jared. I was on the road, and I started getting alerts for a couple different stories, including one that doesn't shock me. It's about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk behind one other guy, and I'm assuming everyone can guess who that is. So I want to read you some of these stories about Musk. I will let people decide. I think the most recent one I saw is Elon Musk challenging this accuser who says that he exposed himself to her. Reading here from the New York Post, Musk challenges far-left private jet sex accuser to describe intimate body parts. Elon Musk called the woman who accused him of sexual misconduct a far-left actress who had a major political axe to grind and challenged her to verify her claims by describing a part of his anatomy, and the allegations were first reported by The Insider. The tech mogul was accused of exposing himself to a flight attendant aboard one of his private planes in 2016. So Musk, if you're wondering about the timing of this, I think everyone is. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We are here at Toyota of Portsmouth. Sorry for the little hiccup there. Welcome back. We have a lot to talk about. You're welcome to call in. It's 844-500-4242. If you want to call in, I think the biggest story today involves Elon Musk. He was kind of giving us a warning yesterday. He said, political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in coming months. And he should have said in coming minutes, because it was very quick that Business Insider, they've done this before with other people, published a thinly sourced hit piece accusing Musk of exposing himself and propositioning a flight attendant. He's not taking this lying down. He actually was responding, challenging this woman. And he said, the attacks against me should be viewed through a political lens. This is their standard despicable playbook, but nothing will deter me from fighting for a good future and your right to free speech. It's interesting because this woman, it's a friend of this woman who signed this NDA, allegedly. I don't really understand how these NDAs work anymore, because what's the point of an NDA if you're going to tell your friend and they're going to disclose it to the world? Doesn't really make sense to me. But Elon Musk claims that this friend in question who gave the interview to Business Insider is a far-left activist slash actress in L.A. with a major political axe to grind. 844-500-4242. He's calling it Elongate. I definitely think that people hate Elon Musk now. It didn't take a lot of time for that to develop. He's he's Elon Stalin, according to the mainstream media. And I just want to read you a little bit here from the actual Business Insider piece. It says, SpaceX, the aerospace firm founded by Elon Musk, the world's wealthiest man, paid a flight attendant $250,000 to settle a sexual misconduct claim against Musk in 2018. The attendant worked as a member of the cabin crew on a contract basis for SpaceX corporate jet fleet. She accused Musk of exposing himself to her, rubbing her leg without consent, and offering to buy her a horse in exchange for a massage, according to interviews. Why are you laughing?
What? A horse?
If that's true, that is nutty. That would be the go-to.
Wow, I used to try pickup lines all the time. I never thought about offering to buy someone a horse.
That's a different kind of hush money. It's a hush pony. The incident, which took place in 2016, is alleged in a declaration signed by a friend of the attendant and prepared in support of her claim. Now, here's an interesting bit on this. The actual documents that Business Insider claims to have were not shared in the story. That's kind of like a common thing, Jared, with these stories. We get the actual explosive news, but we don't get the documents that they're referring to.
Apparently, it was just between her, the reporter, and the horses.
And the horses, yeah. It's between her and the horses. In other news today, we're going to get to all of this stuff. So we have a long show planned, a really good show. We're going to talk to Libby Emmons at 1 o'clock about... Jared, did you hear the other exciting news?
I believe I did, if it's what I think you're talking about.
I'm not sure. Are you talking about New York?
I am.
Can we get a little start spreading the news? Because I think people are going to like this.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
It is this. I always say there's like one thing that unites Democrats and Republicans. There's one thing that can bring them together. And that is that no one likes Bill de Blasio. And he has not figured that out yet. He has decided that he is not done. We have to share this announcement with the audience. This is cut 13, please, Jared. This is Bill de Blasio on his favorite show to go on, which is Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Who has an announcement for us this morning. Mr. Mayor, what's your announcement?
Joe, the poll shows people are hurting. They need help. They need help fast. And they need leaders who can actually get them help now and know how to do it. I do know how to do it from years of serving the people of this city. And so today I'm declaring my candidacy for Congress in the 10th Congressional District of New York.
How can people miss him if he won't go away? I mean, what is up with like the same people having to run over and over and over again? He hasn't done enough damage in New York.
Well, it's funky because the 10th district is like a newly created district with the redistricting. So I'm curious if there was some type of handshake agreement here that, we'll get you a congressional seat. Don't you worry. We'll create a district for you.
Well, it also has to do with Nadler, I think, right? Because he's under the impression that Nadler's hanging it up. And so he thinks this might be a good time for him to step in. We're going to be seeing a lot of this depending on, you know, who the person is. But it's amazing that he's going to run for Congress. I would think he wouldn't have a shot because no one could stand him when he was mayor. But he still kept winning, you know. So maybe there's something that I'm missing here. But de Blasio is going to run for Congress. And we're going to talk to Libby about that. She's from New York City. Or she's from Massachusetts, but she lives in New York City now. So I think she'll have a nice take on that. We also have news coming out of Netflix today, Jared, about the end of the woke era on Netflix. They seem to be pulling the plug, according to the Post-Millennial, on a number of different projects, including the animated series aimed at preschoolers, Anti-Racist Baby, as well as... What is Meghan Markle, her recent project that she was working on? They cut that as well. So according to Variety, that production is intended to serve as a hybrid documentary and scripted feature. That would be Stamped Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. Sources at Netflix reportedly stressed that the decisions to pull the plug on these products were not based on cost. The decisions not to move forward with these projects were creative rather than cost-related, meaning they would have taken place regardless of the company's slower revenue growth. And I also saw in another magazine article, it said, in addition to layoffs of about 150 full-time Netflix employees on Tuesday, the company has cut another 70 workers from its animation studios. The streamer also let go of 60 to 70 contractors working for Netflix social media and publishing channels. So there's big shakeups at Netflix. Their stocks are not doing well. They're also now saying they're going to cause they're going to make it so that more people have to sign up for a for their own account, so you couldn't share accounts. Do you do that, Jared? Do you share accounts with?
I do. I pay for the account, but I have some family members who share.
Who mooch?
Yes.
They mooch on your account. Yeah, I am the
but
mooch.
But I trade off with my brother's Disney Plus. So.
Oh, that's
it's,
good.
It's a fair trade.
But do you think if they said to you, "Oh, you can't, you have to get your own," would your family members get their own, or would they just say, "Forget it"?
They'd probably just say, "Forget it." I'd say, "Forget it."
No, I would as well. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. Summer is right around the corner. From Cape hotel rooms, amusement park tickets, and fine dining gift cards, we have you covered. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Bill de Blasio win his race for the New York House seat?
Oh. My head says no, but my heart says yes. I don't think we've seen the last of Bill de Blasio.
83% of the audience believes no, he will not. 17% think he will.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an interesting piece today in the New York Post about this Elon Musk story and why the left hates Elon Musk so much. And it says it's simple, really, because he can't be controlled and because he doesn't tolerate BS. But even so, Jared,
the wild stallion that can't be broken.
Don't you think it's pretty telling that this came out so quickly after he said? I mean, he really did predict it minutes before this story dropped. I think it dropped like yesterday afternoon.
Well, it really makes you wonder, like, how many of these they have in the chamber just ready to go, you know, for anybody that comes up. It's like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, no, let's scroll through the Rolodex here. Yeah, call this person, you know, send out this sexual assault charge or whatever. I mean, it's like they have an entire stable ready. Get it, stable?
Oh, got it.
There's you're a one-horse pony.
Going to be horse puns all day, Grace.
Hey, I don't hate it. I like it a lot. This is from the New York Post. It says, now it's the 21st century. The tycoons are back. And the thing about tycoons is that they're not timid creatures of committees. They speak and act on their own. I think that is a huge part of it, is that he can't be controlled, Elon Musk. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to say what he wants to say. And then you know what's worse, which this piece points out, is that it started to spread to other tycoons. So we saw earlier this week, Jared, that Bezos was going back and forth with the White House about inflation and about the idea that if you don't tax billionaires, that inflation's going to get worse for people, or how that's somehow going to help inflation get better. And he was going back and forth with the White House, and they don't like that either. So it says Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, has been a reliable supporter of the establishment. If he's straying away from the reservation, who knows what's next? I think that's a big part of it, don't you, Jared?
Well, yeah. I mean, the White House has basically attacked him personally by saying, well, why do you think one of the wealthiest people in the world is upset that the middle class may get a tax break and he'd have to this, that, the other thing? Like, they're making him, they're picking a fight with him.
No, exactly. They really are. And all he, the craziest part of this is that all he wanted to do is let people say what they wanted on Twitter. And it really does show you that that frightens the left in an incredible way. If they're that afraid of debate, if they're that afraid of an argument, the guy wasn't really saying anything that revolutionary. He was saying, let people do. And then the other part of it that I think really bothers Twitter more than anything is that now he's exposing how many of these accounts on Twitter are bots and spam. And they don't like that. I guess half of Biden's followers on Twitter were bots.
Which so, I think that number alone already puts it at over 5% of the users that Twitter has claimed are bots.
Right.
So that's now getting to a tenuous area for the
Twitter. You know what would have been a good question, Jared, is do you think Elon Musk will still acquire Twitter? Because that's kind of been on the ropes now for a while with this whole bot conversation. And then now these dirty tricks are coming out. I don't know.
Well, what I think is really going to be fun to watch is because of the 5% bot issue that was the snag with his purchase. There's basically two outcomes here, is that Twitter proves that they don't have more than 5% bots. And the sale goes through, which obviously isn't going to happen because we know that. So the other likely outcome is that the deal is off, and Twitter, by saying, oh no, it's only this certain percentage, they've betrayed the shareholders again, as well as their clientele, and that opens them up for a variety of class action lawsuits. So really, Elon Musk is probably either going to buy Twitter or it's going to crumble.
I know, but can you imagine a world without it? I mean, I joke around about Twitter a lot, but we use it all the time, Jerry.
Yeah, but a world without Twitter would be like the Jetsons. I mean, there'd be flying cars, tubes, peace, everything would be great.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So Elon Musk tweeted out, political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in coming months. He's also calling this Elongate. The allegations are 6 years old and were apparently kept under wraps by an NDA until this point. That they are coming to light now, this is from Red State, just as Musk is about to take a major weapon away from the left, is hardly a coincidence. Musk responded by asserting, after insider contacted Musk for comment, he emailed to ask for more time to respond and said there's a lot more to this story. He said, if I were inclined to engage in sexual harassment, this is unlikely to be the first time in my entire 30-year career that it comes to light. He wrote, calling this story a politically motivated hit piece. I don't think anyone doubts that, and I think this kind of plays into another theme we've been seeing, which is there's no subtlety left. Like, there's no nuance to this. It's very in your face, and I think people are figuring that out. As I mentioned, we'll be taking your calls all day today. It's 844-500-4242. Also in the news, two Secret Service employees were shipped back to the U.S. from South Korea. Did you see this, Jared? Following an alcohol-fueled confrontation with a local cab driver ahead of President Biden's trip to the country. ABC News reported Friday that an agent and an armed physical security specialist assigned to go to South Korea to help prepare for Biden's visit went out to dinner on a recent evening and hit multiple bars. The pair reportedly became intoxicated and the agent got into a heated argument with the cabbie. Police were eventually called to the scene, though only one of the two workers was reportedly investigated in relation to the incident. This is
would you
party time.
Expect anything less from this White House? Where was Hunter Biden while all this was going on?
Well, Hunter Biden is also in the news. If you haven't seen that, Hunter Biden reportedly raked in $11 million from overseas business deals. We will get into that later in the show. But I love this one line from a former White House chief ethics lawyer, Richard Painter. He said, this is an enormous amount of money for Hunter Biden, whom I don't believe is an experienced corporate transactional attorney. I beg your pardon, sir.
How dare you, sir?
He's an expert of all things. Yeah, so we have some updates on what he was spending that money on, including a Porsche, dental work, luxury hotel payments, and unexplained bank withdrawals. The number is 844-500-4242. We've got tons of sound to get to, tons to talk to you about. We're at Toyota of Portsmouth in New Hampshire. You should stop on by and say hello. Howie's going to be here any second. We can't wait to see him.
Toyota trucks have great horsepower, by the way.
They do indeed. 844-500-4242. Come on by. We'll see you soon. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. We are here at Toyota of Portsmouth. We're so excited to be here. I just got off the phone with Howie, and he is on his way. He cannot wait to see everyone, so make sure you stop by. I think a big story that Howie's going to be talking about today is that Hillary Clinton approved the dissemination of Trump Russian bank allegations to media, a campaign manager testifies. Clinton's former campaign manager said he took the idea of leaking Trump Russia allegations to multiple senior campaign officials. This is a very, very big story, and it's because Robbie Mook, who's the former Clinton campaign manager, testified on Friday that then Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton approved these materials alleging a covert communications channel between the Trump Organization and Russia's Alpha Bank to the media.
And saying, look at me, listen to me.
Jared, are we going to have Mook audio at some point today? Or is this?
It's from the Durham trial, so probably not. That's pretty much sealed up because it's a federal trial.
Yes. Okay. But I have been seeing a lot about this. And when pressed on how Clinton responded, Mook testified she agreed. I don't remember the substance of the conversation. The discussion was, hey, we have this and we want to share it with the reporter. Again, these are all things you won't hear about on the mainstream media, but still a huge story. Let's go to the calls now. The number is 844-500-4242. Margo, you're first up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Margo.
Hi, Grace. Great show again, as usual. Thank you for talking about this. The thing that I find the most telling, and I find this whole Elon Musk thing so interesting, is that up until he entertained the idea of buying Twitter, everybody, they loved him. He was the green car maker. He could do no wrong. They literally eat their own at all times. And I hope that the American people realize this and see what's happening, because they're so transparent. Everything that they do is so conscripted and, you know, created, and just it doesn't make any sense. Nothing that they do makes any sense, but that's okay, because they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and lying and lying and lying, and they get away with it. And now when somebody with some backbone goes up against them, they're going to ruin. Now we have to ruin them. Can you imagine what they do to somebody like you or I? I mean, we don't have billions of dollars. So luckily there's a few people left like him that actually have some guts.
Exactly, Margo. He's a tycoon. That's exactly what this piece in the New York Post was saying. It said, worse yet, Musk's intolerance for BS is starting to spread to his fellow tycoons. Amazon pioneer and fellow space enthusiast Jeff Bezos recently mocked the Biden administration's Ministry of Truth by suggesting that it fact-check Biden's nonsensical claim that today's inflation is the result of corporations not paying enough in taxes. This is a mortal threat, because the left's BS can only flourish in an environment where no one challenges it. And that is the kind of environment that Elon Musk was not going to have if he took over Twitter. He was going to let people challenge ideas. Expect blowback. Musk recently warned that he would become the target of political attacks, and that's already happening. And he was actually getting political attacks right after he announced that he might take over Twitter. They started looking into Tesla. Like Margo said, Tesla was good as gold for years and years and years, because they're making these electric hybrid whatever vehicles, and so everyone's excited about it. And then he says, I might buy Twitter because I don't like the fact that the Babylon Bee was taken off of Twitter. And within minutes, I mean, it used to be a little bit more subtle, you know, like it would take a couple days or a couple weeks for this stuff. Now it's like he says, I'm going to get attacked. I'm going to get politically attacked, just FYI. And then boom, Business Insider drops this story. It's so transparent. That's the best way to put it. The problem for the Biden administration is that it's become weak, and meaning that fewer people are afraid. I agree, too, with the idea of, if they can do this to Elon Musk, then what would they do to the average person? Because that always kind of gets forgotten about, is that you always assume, well, you know, Elon Musk, he didn't really need to pick this fight, but he wanted to. But this guy's got all the resources going. Well,
what they would do to the average person before this was, they'd shut him off social media, they'd ban him from Twitter. They do all that stuff, but now they're being threatened that they won't even be able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So
I never, and I know this is kind of basic, but I've always thought the people who support censorship, right there you lose me. Because if your ideas are so much smarter than mine, and maybe they are, there's plenty of things people call up about I change my mind on. But if your ideas are so much more brilliant than Elon Musk's or than Tucker Carlson's, or your ideas are better than anyone's, have it out. Let's hear them. Let's fight it out. Debate it all day long. But this idea that, oh, my ideas are so great that I need to make sure that you get thrown off of YouTube, that doesn't make sense to me in any way, shape, or form. Now, speaking of, you know, the Ministry of Truth and things we are and are not allowed to say, I have to read you this headline. I thought it was a fake headline when I first saw it, but it's real. This is from the Daily Caller, but they're getting the information from the New York Times. The CDC is worried making new COVID vaccines will suggest to Americans that they don't actually work. And I'm reading, don't laugh, Jared. I told you this is a serious story. This is the New York, this is the gray lady. Advisors at the CDC are concerned that rolling out annual COVID-19 vaccines after already asking Americans to get three or more shots might create the impression that the vaccines aren't effective at all, according to a New York Times report. And then, so I see that story, and I'm like, oh, you don't say. You don't say that they're worried about that. And then I saw something really weird, which at first, Jared, I thought was more your thing, not to be mean. You know how you love all of that.
Absolutely understand.
Jared likes the, how else would I put it? You like the conspiracy theories? Is that?
That is very good, yeah. That is a good way to put it.
And then combined with your love of sci-fi, Star Wars and stuff, we get into a murky territory that I'm not always comfortable with. Is that fair?
That is fair.
If you're mad, I'll buy you a horse, I promise. but so I see this clip and I'm like, I can't tell if this is, you know, something that's made up or whatever. It's this guy who I've seen before, Albert Bourla. And he's the CEO of Pfizer. And I remember once I had to write a piece on how much money Pfizer's been making over the last couple of years. They've been doing really well. I don't know how your businesses have been doing, but Pfizer has been having a phenomenal year. The growth that they have had is, it's breathtaking. I only say that word once a week. I'm going to use it right now. So this guy, Albert Bourla, I remember he was on, I think it was like Face the Nation or something, and he was answering questions about Pfizer and the vaccines. And, you know, it's amazing how the people who are making money off the vaccines think you should get five or six or seven. Funny how that works. But he was recently at this interview, and he starts talking about pills. And this is a whole conversation that's coming up now where a lot of these companies are developing therapeutics and ways to fight COVID without getting the vaccine. So he starts talking about pills, and it's like he wanted to set the internet ablaze, Jared. He starts talking about pills with chips in them, not like potato chips. I'm talking the chip chips, like the robot chips.
These are not Mi Niña tortilla chips.
But Jared, do you agree with me that it's almost as if he's asking for the people who think there's conspiracy theories to go crazy? You start talking about giving people pills with chips in them?
Yeah, it is, but I don't think he's even trying to drive them crazy. I think he is just so out in the open about this now because they don't care anymore.
Okay, let's take a listen. This is the Pfizer CEO, Cut 12.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
I am perplexed by that.
I'm old enough to remember when being chipped by drug companies was a conspiracy theory.
I know. You just give it 2 weeks and all these conspiracy theories become fact. Yeah, but you know what? I remember when people were saying that they were nervous about, you know, people always talk about getting the chip put in them, but it's usually like, it's usually inserted into your arm, like in the conspiracy theories, I mean, not in real life. But this is even worse because now you're ingesting it. How does it even know what it's doing? It's just floating around your body? Do I have this right? Someone get Albert Bourla on the line. I need this explained to me. In a better way. 844-500-4242. But yeah, the CDC is worried that people are going to be a little bit hesitant now about these vaccines because they want to create new ones and they think it might suggest that they don't actually work. See, I have no, I'm fully vaccinated and I feel like the great part of it is that you can say, listen, I'm fully vaccinated and it makes it, if I get COVID, it's going to make it less severe. But to say that it stops you, which is what the mainstream media was running with for a very long time, it prevents you from getting COVID. That's a lie. That's misinformation. That's disinformation. I'll give you another one. That's malinformation. Did you guys know there's three? There's three different kinds. Yeah. You're all learning today. Malinformation. 844-500-4242. I think that might be my favorite, Jared, is the mal.
Yeah.
Forget the diss and the miss. Who needs that? We're going with a mal now. 844-500-4242. We are going to take your calls. We got a special guest coming up next, so don't go anywhere. We'll also talk a little bit about Hunter Biden. $11 million from overseas business deals. This is an enormous amount of money for Hunter. Well, you know what? I'm gonna actually challenge this quote. This is a quote from former White House chief ethics lawyer Richard Painter. He said, this is an enormous amount of money for Hunter Biden. I don't know if that's true. I mean, $11 million might be an enormous amount for me, but for Hunter, I kind of feel like this is small change. He's been making
tons of,
and he spends it quick. Payments on a Porsche. Here's the interesting thing about the Porsche. I don't know if people remember this. His Porsche was actually... Jerry, can I get a fact check, by the way? You're my own Nina Jankowicz. You are my Mary Poppins. His Porsche was something he traded in. He got the Porsche because he originally got this like green car. It was like a Tesla knockoff type thing. He got gifted that, and then he traded that in for a Porsche, which to me, as someone who cares so much about the environment, feels like a bit of a slight to us greenies, but that's how he got the Porsche. So he used this $11 million to pay off the Porsche, to make unexplained bank withdrawals. That's what I'm most interested in.
Yes, that was his Fisker sports car that you were talking about.
Fisker. Whatever happened to Fisker? I'm going to ask Jim Boyle about it next. Say, do you ever run into any Fiskers here at Toyota of Portsmouth? And Painter also says, if Hunter Biden cared about protecting the family's reputation, he would disclose everything. The whole thing doesn't look good.
I'm pretty sure he did disclose everything, but Twitter wouldn't let the New York Post report on it.
The Post has reported that Hunter Biden made as much as $1 million a year by serving on the Burisma Board of Directors, but that the amount was slashed by 50% in March of 2017, 2 months after his dad stopped serving as vice president. Timing is everything. Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. I appreciate it. I just think this vaccine stuff is just such a scam. It really, you know, it's like it's the pharma business, and they're in the business of selling things, and whether they work or not is totally subjective. And I think that, you know, we're putting stuff in our bodies. We don't even know what it is. And the ramifications later on, 5, 10 years for some of these young kids could be enormous. And Big Pharma just could say, oh, we didn't know. It's not our fault. You know, you agreed to take the pill or whatever it is, the vaccine. I just think we've just gotten so far away from reality here in America. It's sad. Very, very
sad.
Yeah,
and you know what? You know what, Adam? You feel that way, and someone else might say, hey, listen, I have friends who are nurses, who are doctors, who tell me, no, you know, it's great. And that's fine, too. But guess what? It's called risk assessment. Everybody gets to decide, like, what risk am I willing to take? And if you have a 5 through 11-year-old and they're telling you that kid needs to be vaccinated to come to camp, it's the parent's choice. It really is. I mean, it has to be. A parent has to decide, all right, what's the chance of my child getting COVID and dying versus if they get this vaccine, the side effects. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but it's not up to Dr. Fauci. It's not up to Joe Biden to tell you that. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to be talking to a very special guest. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are here at Toyota of Portsmouth. We're waiting for Howie Carr. He's on his way. And right now I'm talking with Jim Boyle. Jim, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Grace. It's always nice to know that we were the first place that you did your first remote.
Yes, you were.
And look at you now.
Look at me now. Jim, I have a couple questions for you that listeners are asking about. Number one is, if someone comes here and they have a car they want to get and it's not available on the lot, what's the wait time looking like right now?
It depends on the model, but some could be 6 to 8 weeks, and others could be about 14 weeks. But we will always work to get the customer the car they want with the proper equipment, because that's the most important part. Always want the car you really want.
Yes, yes. And that was something you always told me when I came into lease a car. You said, you got to get the one you really want. You got it. And you convinced me to get the nice sunroof and all
and
that.
And you had to wait a little, but it was worth it.
It was worth the wait, for sure. Now, Jim, what is the most popular car that people are after right now?
RAV4 Hybrid Pro.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Oh, look at you.
Maybe I had something to do with it. I'm an influencer. All right. Now, Jim, tell us a little bit about what's going on Sunday with the Off-Road Jamboree.
Well, the Off-Road Jamboree is when we, once a year we have it. And all the Toyota off-road enthusiasts come together. We had about 500 last year.
Wow.
It's crazy. And they bring in their Tacomas, Land Cruisers, 4Runners. All these guys are really into it, and girls. And, you know, we also have Lexus and even Scion SUVs we had last year. It was pretty amazing. But everyone comes and they just share all their ideas, and we have a few people that supply such things to people like New England Vehicle Outfitters and Northeast Adventure Company and the Overland Detailing Company. But we do awards. We have for the dirtiest car, the one with the most mileage, the one, the cleanest car.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. I'm definitely not winning that one, the cleanest car.
And we've had some really incredible modified Toyota off-road vehicles, and I was pleasantly surprised with the crowd we had last year, and this year promises to be even bigger.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful weekend, so everyone should check it out. And
there's no charge. It's free.
It's free, and if you want to go to toyotaofportsmouth.com to find out anything more about Toyota, if you want to stop in here and see us, we've got a nice little crowd right now. I know people are going to keep showing up as Howie comes here, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock, and there's going to be, I've heard through the grapevine, there's going to be some food.
Yes, from our friends at the 110 Grill.
Yes, so everyone make sure you stop on by. Give Jim Boyle a nice round of applause. We'll be right back with Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial to talk about more stuff. Don't go anywhere.